What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. First things first, my big old thanks to Matt Rothschild and Jim Santel for guest hosting my show yesterday. Props to you, gentlemen. Hope you tuned in. If you missed it, you can go catch that episode at civicmedia.us. All past episodes of The Maggie Dawn Show are podcasted there for your listening enjoyment. Maybe a couple of yucks and a little bit of fun, right?
Just a little. Just a touch as a treat for all the hard work you do, Maggie.
That we do together with our listeners. If you want to join us today, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court's Colorado decision. There's a couple of interesting things going on in there. It appears simple. It actually isn't. And there's some, I think, unique observations that I'm going to make that you probably haven't heard anywhere else. You're not going to want to miss that. That's going to be coming up on this episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. But first of all, I had a little family business to attend to, Anya.
Oh, yes.
My dear Uncle Denny, who is a new listener to the show, it's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Uncle Denny.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
So big shout out to Denny. Good, good. Hope you're doing well, Uncle, and we'll talk soon. Enjoy your birthday, sir. And of course, the reason I was out yesterday, it was my last official day at Milwaukee County. A 7-year saga has come to an end.
Yes, a truly an end of an era.
That is what it is. It feels like it to me since I was doing the work. But man, it has taken me quite a while to get myself situated and moved in. I've got boxes stacked up everywhere. Lawyers, we tend to hoard paper quite a bit. It's like our safety blanket. So I had all these boxes and boxes of paper that go back to my New York lawyer days, in fact.
Right.
And now some of them are piled up in my new office here at Civic Media. Yeah. You had a really good idea about what we might be able to do with these. You saw something, I think, on Pinterest.
It was. Well, I came into your office today. You said, you want to see the almost finished office? And I have to say, friends out there, Maggie has incredible taste in many things, including interior design. It's a lovely little office. I'm looking forward to maybe a couple naps on that nice plush couch you have.
Indeed.
But the boxes, the document boxes are a bit of an eyesore, I think. You got to get them out of there. I saw on Pinterest, you can really freshen up a bathroom with just like a wall of document boxes, right where the toilet would be, where your knees would touch,
put
them all
there?
In there. Or if you have a ballroom at home or at some property maybe you own,
okay,
you can just kind of put them on the stage there, and it looks like a little show. There's so much you can do with them, Maggie, and get them out of your office. There's just, that's what it is. It's designing with them.
Yeah, so I need a gilded gold bathroom.
I think that the cardboard of the boxes would match the gold.
They have those warm undertones,
that's
I think.
That's right. It's very earthen gold and cardboard. They're very natural elements, right? I think all these boxes of all these, you know, secret papers you have, Maggie, we can just shove them in a room somewhere and it'll be fine. Like,
it'll be fine.
Like a bathroom. Yeah. Why not?
Just as, you know, a bunch of marked private, privileged, confidential. I don't think I have any like highly classified national defense documents, so maybe they don't quite qualify for the ballroom. Maybe they're just strictly bathroom boxes. If any of this isn't landing for you out there, of course we're referring to the Donald Trump document case, in which he thought, you know, some of our national defense plans were best kept in his gilded bathroom and his ballroom at Mar-a-Lago. So would seem only fitting that my humble documents belong in a gilded bathroom in a ballroom as well.
But I think we could put them in like a real nice half bath.
A half bath? Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe in our Civic Media bathroom here at the WAUK studios downtown Waukesha.
That's like a quarter bath.
That is a quarter
bath. That would work.
Well, listen, it has been quite the journey for me getting from the county to this point at Civic Media. I am so thankful for the opportunity that I've had to serve both in federal government, in city government, and then most recently in county government. I began my career as a lawyer as a federal appeals court clerk for Judge now deceased, may he rest in peace, Judge Michael Caney of the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. So if you're not familiar with sort of court structures, we've got federal and state courts, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this when I get into the Supreme Court's Colorado ballot decision, because this difference between state courts and federal courts ends up being, frankly, the turning point of that opinion. But for me, I was working in the federal court system, one level of courts down from the U.S. Supreme Court. Those are our federal circuit courts or our federal appeals courts. I did that for a year with Judge Caney. It was a really fascinating experience for me, Anya, because Judge Caney began his career as a trial court judge in Indiana.
Okay.
Which is pretty unusual. There's very few federal court judges that actually ever were state court judges. Usually they're just sort of birthed into the Article III federal court system.
They appear fully formed, robe in hand. I understand.
Gavel,
okay.
Gavel,
there we go.
Bad attitude. Yeah. So Judge Caney first was a trial court judge in Indiana. Then Ronald Reagan appointed him to be a federal trial court judge, so a district court judge. And then finally Herbert Walker Bush appointed him to the appeals court bench. So Judge Caney had this fantastic, very diverse set of experiences as a judge. He was a very humble man, really easy to work with. He was a Republican appointee. He himself was very conservative. I never once saw that affect the way that he judged cases. And I think that, again, in this moment, and we're going to talk about the Supreme Court and this interesting, it is a split decision. Everybody's talking about, oh, it's per curiam, which means unanimous. It really isn't. There's a portion that is unanimous. But it's worthy of note, and in reflecting in this moment of change for myself in this career, looking back, I thought, gee, I worked for a very conservative guy, basically twice appointed by folks hailed by many Republicans to sort of be the standard bearers of the modern GOP before Donald Trump. That is Ronald Reagan and Herbert Walker Bush. Bush especially coming from being CIA director into the presidency eventually. So, you know, and here was this judge. My experience with him was we never talked about politics ever. He didn't litmus test me when he was interviewing me to become his clerk. And he didn't hire clerks based on political affiliation. He didn't have some secret list being vetted by the Federalist Society. He didn't require his clerks to be Federalist Society members, which you can join when you are in law school. He just wanted folks that were from the Midwest that had had a degree of demonstrated academic and scholarly success. He wanted, get this, Anya, the most capable clerks that he could find from with Midwestern roots, because he was a Midwestern guy. Imagine that, hiring people for skill sets.
Something to the tune of like meritocracy or something?
Right, that mythology.
What?
Yes, Judge Caney lived that. He looked for merit. He looked for the people he thought were going to be best for the job. And he passed last year. I wasn't able to go to his funeral because it was happening in the middle of the Milwaukee County sales tax push.
Oh, yeah.
And it really strikes me, again, in this moment of change for me and reflecting on all the different pockets of my career and places and faces and folks that I've worked with, that he really continues to stand out in my mind as really the best of us. In other words, what we really should be hoping for and looking for in judges. And that is nonpartisans. Or we all have, perhaps many of us, especially lawyers, have some sort of political affiliation, but that when lawyers ascend to the bench and they put on the robe, that should be a hallmark of depoliticizing, of becoming apolitical, not simply looking at the end and then justifying the means and contorting yourself into all sorts of legal theoretical pretzels. And one of the things that I'm going to get to today is the emphasis on text and history and precedent that the conservative majority on this court seems particularly obsessed with. And many of us, when we grew up and learned about the United States, we learned of the Constitution as this document that could grow with society, that it could expand and flex, and that there was such a thing as judicial interpretation. Because if we're just reading the text, everybody, then what role do the judges have? Then just whip out the dictionary and you know, learn up on them words. And so if interpretation, if the document is indeed subject to interpretation, if those standards, if what we once thought was immoral and illegal, say, interracial marriage, we now think, of course, that should be constitutionally protected. Then doesn't that, Justice Thomas, indicate that we do have a document that grows with us, that grows with society, and that this almost perverted obsession with text and history and precedent in a way that is extremely limited, meaning the history as it stood in the 1700s is not, or the 1800s, is not the way that we should be defining our laws today, Speaker Mike Johnson. I'm looking at you too, sir. Because if we do that, women, working folk, black folk, brown folk, and anybody who isn't a white male one percenter is going to be left behind. Because that's how our laws have grown and expanded, not just to protect women or LGBTQIA folks or black and brown folks, but working people too. And that is everyone, most of the folks that I know in the state of Wisconsin. So don't let the separation fool you. Don't let the otherizing fool you, because this is about all of us here that work hard for our money. And again, if our laws were done in the 1790s or early 1800s, we'd all be hurting something fierce. I'm going to get more into it on the Colorado Supreme Court decision today. I'm also super excited. I've got a great guest coming in at the bottom of the hour. Supervisor Liz Sumner from the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors is running for Milwaukee County's comptroller. You guys know I've got all the respect in the world for technical experts that work in government, because by gosh, we need them these days. You're going to want to stick around to listen to the conversation with Liz. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to take a couple of quick messages. We'll be right back here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us this afternoon, 855-75-CIVIC. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. We've been talking about a bit of my background, how I got here. We've got a great guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, Elizabeth Sumner, current Milwaukee County Supervisor and candidate for the Milwaukee County Comptroller's race. As many of you regular listeners know, I spent the last 7-plus years of my career working as the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County. Yesterday brought that tenure to an end. It has been quite a mix of emotions for me. I am thrilled to be here, excited, nervous, maybe even a little scared to be doing this here with Civic Media, becoming a regular daily midday host as well as Civic Media's general counsel. Really thrilled to be doing this work with all of you, our listeners, to help ensure that voters make the best decisions possible in this most crucial election cycle. But I'm also quite sad to be leaving public service. I, you know, again, being on the radio is a version of service in a way, we hold these airwaves in trust. That's what the Federal Communications Commission tells us. That's what radio stations are. We don't own the airwaves. We hold them in trust for listeners. And in that same way, I held that job at Milwaukee County in trust to the people, the residents, the taxpayers, the visitors to Milwaukee County. And I took that oath, that responsibility incredibly seriously. It was some of the hardest, I call it, Anya, the hardest, best job I've ever had, right? And very, very sad to leave so many people that I love and respect behind. And in those 7 years, I can't, when I think back on it, I cannot believe the amount of change and upheaval that has happened. I entered Milwaukee County where the executive branch of government and the legislative branch of government were in a pitched political fight that was in the courts, went up on appeal. There was even talk of a Supreme Court appeal. I mean, it was craziness. It came in right in the middle of that. And both of my clients, the legislature and the executive at the time, basically thought at times, oh, you're just doing the bidding of the other branch of government. And then we rolled right into COVID and the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter protests. And oh, yeah, in the fall of 2020, Anya, I think there was a little bit of an election.
I couldn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 2020?
Yes.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, that was a weird year.
Yes. Bit of an election. I was in a recount. I was the lawyer to the Milwaukee County Elections Commission. Then January 6th happened. It just kept going and going. But I feel really strongly about the position that Milwaukee County's in. We got the sales tax done. We got the Brewers funding done. And we have a great team of people in my office. So my thanks to everyone at Milwaukee County, especially the people of Milwaukee County, for their trust in me. You didn't get to pick me. You picked the guy who appointed me to my job. But I took my oath to all of you very seriously, and I tried to lead from Milwaukee County. We certainly led on the opioid lawsuits, brought in upwards of $175 million and still counting, the largest settlements ever obtained by a local government. And yesterday, I announced to the Judiciary Committee of Milwaukee County that my office, now being run by Scott Brown, the Acting Corporation Council, we were requesting the permission of the county board to go ahead and sue the insulin manufacturers and pharmacy benefit managers, the PBMs, that have basically engaged in a decades-long price-fixing scheme, driving up the price of insulin some 300-400%. Insulin hasn't changed much since for about 100 years. It costs about $2 a vial to make. And some folks are paying $300, $400, $500 a vial. It costs, in other countries, pennies on the dollar for a year's supply compared to what it costs in the United States. It is criminal. It should be looked into by the federal government, the attorney generals of every single state. But Milwaukee County is again going to lead the fight against wrongdoers that happen to wear lab coats here in the United States and sue and hopefully get tens of millions of dollars back in the pockets of Milwaukee County taxpayers, because we estimate that employer payers for medical care and health care plans are overpaying for insulin prescriptions by as much as 75%. So if you think about this going on for some 10 to 20 years, those numbers add up pretty quickly. How much do we got time for? A couple, maybe one or two calls here.
We got 3 minutes, so we can talk to some folks.
That's,
yeah,
that's all day. Steven from Green Bay, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Hey, Maggie. I hear you talk about your service to Milwaukee County, and I talked to you a lot about it in your very first day, but I'm just blown away. And as turning any chapter in any book can be a little scary. The unknown is never fun for anybody. But I can tell you, I've listened to a lot of different hosts on the Civic Media Network, and what we need more of in this country is female voices speaking out. And I honestly couldn't think of a better female voice to have on the radio than you. There's some female voices on the right side of the aisle speaking right in Milwaukee County, actually, that are spewing all sorts of garbage. So it's nice to have someone that's actually speaking the truth of the female voice.
Thanks so much, Stephen. Keep listening. Keep calling. I appreciate you. And I hear the words, and I can't believe you're talking about me, to be perfectly honest with you. I really appreciate it. Wisco Willie Nelson, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Maggie. I can't argue with the last caller on any of his points. Civic Media is a totally awesome outlet. But I got a quick hitter here, really quick, and that's the Supreme Court. I feel three of them are corrupt, maybe more, but at least three. And with this Supreme Court, is anything on the table, which I'm also talking about, like labor law, maybe even Social Security, or is that a bridge too far?
No, I think, listen, Wisco Nelson, we got to take a couple of quick messages. Hopefully my guest will be here. Otherwise, I'll dive right into the Supreme Court decision when we come back. Yeah, we got three corrupt justices on the bench. I think we've got the most ethically compromised Supreme Court justice of modern American history, Clarence Thomas, who apparently isn't even going to recuse himself from the Trump immunity case when his wife was texting the chief of staff for the president, whose criminal charges are now before him. It's insane, folks. More coming up after these quick messages here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Lock it in. Keep those phone lines lit up. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this next half hour by Supervisor Liz Sumner.
Hello.
Hey, Liz, what is going on?
Nothing. Super excited to be here, enjoying this sunshiny day.
Exact. Sunshiny, but cold basically everywhere in Wisconsin. I'm really excited to have you as well. We got a couple of callers that I wanted to take before we dive into your big election coming up in April. Sharky from Racine, what's up? You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, Maggie. Sure glad to hear your voice. I tell you what, you know, I figured I would, you know, maybe come out of retirement and, you know, make sure that the radio stays on the line. Nobody's cutting down the airwaves and knocking over antennas. But more importantly, to make sure you're safe. And I'd come out of retirement from my former job where I took lead in taking care of the likes of Johnny Cash, Muhammad Ali. We made an arrest for a bomb threat that happened during the Clinton, the actual president here in Racine. He was bomb threatened and we took him into Racine. And he was taken under arrest. So I just want to keep you safe, keep up the good work, and we'll do it.
Thank you so much, Sharky, and thank you for serving the public and your community. You know, the city of Milwaukee, by the state Supreme Court, lost the right to require their police and firefighters and their employees to live in the city. And I always thought there was something to the idea that if you're going to be a public servant, you should live with the people that you serve. I've been a longtime city of Milwaukee resident, worked for the city, and still proud resident. Bob from Madison. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you this afternoon?
Well, the immunity case and the insurrection case. Why are the three Donald Trump appointees not recusing themselves. It seems like that's a clear-cut conflict of interest.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree, Bob, simply because if that were the case, you would have seen a number of additional Supreme Court justices back in the Nixon case recuse. Only Rehnquist did. So I think Thomas is such a slam dunk of a case. We don't need to reach to the other justices. Maybe you could be looking at Kavanaugh, simply because the Republicans basically stole a Supreme Court seat from Merrick Garland. But we're going to get into a bit more of that. Feel free to call back, because I want to bring on my next guest, Liz Sumner, candidate from Waukee County Comptroller. Thanks for hanging out, Liz, this afternoon and making the drive to Waukesha.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell you, you've been a supervisor now for how many terms?
Two terms.
Yep,
elected in 2020.
It's been so long for me at the county that I sometimes can't remember. What's it been like for you being a supervisor?
I've really enjoyed it. What I love about it is that it's local. So, you know, the ability to be able to actually help a constituent that calls and has a problem, being able to direct them to the right department, you know, create a piece of legislation that's going to take care of whatever it is that, is a concern for them locally. That's one of the things I think I enjoyed the most about it.
Yeah, to me, Liz, that's one of the most amazing things about public service. And on occasion, I would get a resident or a taxpayer that would call my office. And if they actually got me, like, called my direct line, I actually loved answering the phone.
Yeah.
And there'd be, hey, it's a living, breathing, real member of the public.
Like, yeah.
How can I help you?
Right.
I sometimes cheekily say to folks, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Uh-huh.
Which for some people is a punchline. But when I say it and said it, I really meant it. I definitely had that impression of you in my time at the county. What made you decide to... You've been a supervisor. You mm-hmm. had your seat locked in, really, as a supervisor. Mm-hmm. Probably could have run for as many re-elections as you would have wanted to. What made you decide to run for comptroller?
Well, so the entire time that I've been on the board, I have served on the finance committee, and I was lucky enough this past term to be appointed finance committee chair, which, as you know, is one of
Big
the, probably
deal.
The most important committee chair position that you can have at the county. And I work really closely with the current comptroller and a lot of the department heads under the comptroller. And I felt like knowing how I view, you know, I have a background in finance and, you know, I feel like I'm able to look at a lot of the things that come before the finance committee with a particular eye, whereas I think a lot of supervisors don't have that finance background. And I think there's a real missed opportunity there to be able to work more closely with the board more and get them more informed on what they are voting on and the importance of it, because I have seen some things really take a dive pretty easily that have been really important to get past at a particular meeting, since we only meet, as you know, like once a month. And so it's really important to get our business done. And I think, that was one of the things that I thought improved a relationship just between the comptroller's office and the county board. And then I just think our current comptroller has been in the role for 30 plus years. And I think it's just important to get a fresh set of eyes on things sometimes, you know, a lot of modernization opportunities are there. And I have built a lot of relationships with department heads across the county, and I think leveraging those to figure out how the comptroller's office can support them better, which will hopefully lead to efficiencies, which will hopefully lead to, you know, saving money, which we then can invest in other areas of the county. And I think those were some of the things that I, you know, I see that I want to want to accomplish in the role, and that I see as like a real opportunity.
And for those who may have be newly tuning in to the Maggie Dawn Show or haven't listened before, again, I'm joined by Liz Sumner, candidate from Waukee County Comptroller. If you're sitting there thinking to yourself, talking to the radio, going, "What the hell is a comptroller?"
Yeah.
Liz, tell them what a comptroller is.
It is the equivalent of the CFO of the county.
And a CFO is a...
Chief Financial Officer. Thank you. I know. I always hate it when people use abbreviations and I'm like, I don't... What does that actually mean, though? Yeah, so it's the Chief Financial Officer. There are six departments underneath the comptroller and they're all like finance related, basically, and accounting, accounts payable, payroll, debt service, financial services, and then the audit service division. So
probably one of the most important functions in all of government is your auditors and your audit teams, because it's what helps ensure that departments are actually doing what with the money, what they're supposed to be doing with the money that is granted to a department in a budget. It helps identify when there may be fraud or waste occurring. Milwaukee County has certainly had its share of scandals, hopefully in the far, far rear view mirror.
Please.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
So tell folks a little bit about your background and what got you to the county board in the first place and your specific training and degrees in all of these important fields that would prepare you to be a comptroller.
Okay. Well, I guess I will start out way back when I was very small. My dad was a political science professor. And so we talked politics around the dinner table from a very young age. I remember watching presidential returns, in like in 1980.
Yeah.
And I always said that I wanted to become the first woman president. And then I think I got to a point in my life where the divisiveness in politics was like challenging for me, and I sort of chose a different career path, and I ended up opening a women's clothing store. And when I moved to I live in Fox Point now. When I moved there, there was the upcoming election for the village board, and I thought, you know what, this is something I can do. It's nonpartisan. I can represent my small community, and I'm a new mom. Just like a different set of eyes on what's going on in this community. And that's kind of what got me started. And again, it's one of those things where you realize that you are able to like help people that live in your community and make change and really do like cool things, that I just got the bug. But I guess to go back to some of my background, so I did double major in French and political science as an undergrad, and then was fortunate enough to get accepted into the University of Chicago Business School program when I was living in Chicago. It's one of the top five, generally ranked in the top five business schools in the country. And I specialized in strategy and finance, and two things that I think will really help in the comptroller's office as well. And then ran for county board, was elected, which was incredible, and reelected in 2022. And here we are.
That's incredible, Liz. I want to, since you won't brag about yourself,
I will make
a couple points of emphasis for folks that are listening and potential voters in Milwaukee County. Liz went to the University of Chicago's business school. Very few people get into the University of Chicago. Fewer people still get into the University of Chicago's business school. It's one of the toughest programs in the country. I can safely say that anybody that has a business degree from the University of Chicago knows something about finance, understands what, a cash flow statement is, what a balance sheet is, and would understand the baseline functions of a chief financial officer role for a public entity, and would also be familiar with concepts, and here's a big old fancy word, like a fiduciary duty. For those of you who may be listening that don't know what a fiduciary is, it's this. When you give someone your money, and you ask them to hold it for you, that's a fiduciary. So when we, a government, take taxpayer dollars, I've always referred to that as I stand in a fiduciary capacity. It's not formally a fiduciary duty, but I believe that government owes efficiency and effectiveness to every taxpayer and each dollar that we take out of people's pockets.
Absolutely.
Now, within government, there are formal fiduciaries. The chief fiscal officer or chief financial officer is one. So are things like pension board trustees. A pension board trustee for an employee pension plan has employee and employer dollars that help fund the pension benefits that get paid out to employees at retirement over many, many decades, sometimes 100 plus years, depending on how long the government's been around. A fiduciary is the highest duty of care that exists under American law. It means you have to act solely and exclusively in the interest of the person whose money you hold in trust. Your opponent is a former pension board member from Milwaukee County, is he not?
He is.
Can you share with us a little bit of his background, what you may or may not know about his time serving on the pension board, his background, so voters can do a little comparison if they wish to?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't. I'm not a specialist on my opponent, I guess. But yes, he did serve on the pension board at Milwaukee County, and it was brought to the attention of our corporation counsel that his mom was receiving benefits from the county, and essentially, you know, right, as a fiduciary, there are certain relationships that, you know, you can't have and remain neutral, and I think that was the concern there. And he was asked to step down from his position and opted not to, and was eventually removed by the chairwoman of the county board. But yeah, you know, I think it's questionable history, I think, with the county and just sort of with fiscal responsibility in general.
Yeah. Not to put Liz on the spot, and I was that corporation counsel that when told that this particular pension board member, who was supposed to be an independent pension board member, we have four inside pension board trustees within Milwaukee County. Those are employee representatives, folks that are receiving a pension from Milwaukee County. We have four outside or independent trustees. So you've got four of the inside folks that receive benefits themselves or are retirees or current employees. And you've got four outside trustees that are supposed to be independent. And it is those outside trustees, to be independent, you can't have yourself or anybody in your family receiving any benefits. Liz Sumner's opponent took an independent outsider pension board trustee seat when his mom was receiving pension benefits. Listen, Liz is going to stick around for another segment. We're going to talk more about your background, more about your vision for the county, more about service, and a little bit more about you when we come back. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. If you got a question for Liz, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. Back with more in just a moment. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to me and Liz Sumner, candidate for the Milwaukee County Comptroller's Office here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Comptroller is the chief fiscal officer, independently elected, basically fiscal watchdog of a government organization, owes what I would call a fiduciary duty to taxpayers to make sure that all those taxpayer dollars are spent according to the budget, that they're not wasted, that there's no fraud going on. And we were talking about Liz's background. She's got her business degree from the University of Chicago, one of the top business programs in the country. You've been a small business owner. We also talked a little bit about Liz's opponent, guy who sat on the Milwaukee County Pension Board for a number of years, even though he was not qualified to do so. He was not qualified to do so because he was supposed to be completely uninterested in the Milwaukee County pension plan. He was supposed to be an outside, independent trustee. And came to find out when I was corporation counsel at Milwaukee County that his mom was getting a pension all along, which means he should have never been on the pension board. He knew that, and so did his appointing authority, and so did the then deputy corporation counsel well before my watch. Shame on them for that. But enough about all that technical stuff. Tell voters a little bit about you, Liz. What, you born and raised in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your folks. You talked about your dad was a political science professor, political junkie.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of kids.
Yes. Yeah. I was born and raised in Milwaukee, lived in the Sherman Park neighborhood until I was 9. We moved to Shorewood and graduated from Shorewood High School and then went to Marquette. I moved away for a couple of years and then came back and started a family. And so, yes, I have two kids, 10 and 12, and a boy and a girl. They're super sweet, involved in some sports, doing really great at school. So I'm, you know, I'm a proud mom. I know that the teenage years are approaching and it'll be, you know, high school is going to be interesting, but, you know, for now I'm just enjoying it and just how sweet they are. And loving watching them grow into like amazing little people.
Well, why don't we give them a shout out? What are their names? Yeah,
Molly and Charlie.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's what's Molly's favorite sport?
Molly is really into volleyball right now.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She also enjoys swimming, but we're taking a little break from that because the schedule is pretty, pretty demanding.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then Charlie is a huge soccer fan. So he's playing club soccer at the with the Kickers on Good Hope. And yeah, he's having a great time right now. We're in indoor. He has game this evening.
Go, Charlie.
But that's going really well. I know. And then he's actually also in the school play. So they're doing the Lion King at their school. I know. It's so cute. And so he's super pumped. He's a hyena.
Oh, wonder. Do you have to make any of the costumes?
Great question. The school sends a lot of emails. And so I just kind of try to wait until it's like, this needs to be done in 2 days. And I'm like, got it.
That one.
I did need to get him a little like gray hoodie that they're going to.
We both were going to the word zhuzh. It works in so many instances.
It really does. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, how wonderful.
I know.
Well,
I know.
Hello to Molly and Charlie.
Yes. Hi, guys.
I hope his soccer game goes well. It's really wonderful. I was particularly inspired by your election to the county board because I feel like so many people that their life experiences would resonate with your own.
Yeah.
And I think it's people, and I certainly had this impression before I got more deeply involved in government, saw many elected officials as sort of like over there and disconnected and maybe not interested or not coming from the same place I may have. And it turns out that is in local government, especially, not the case. I think local government, again, is that avenue, is that access point where you will see local officials and folks working in government that are your neighbors and friends and that have a lot in common with you.
Yes.
Is that in part what drew you to local government specifically?
I mean, I think just my unique point of view, you know, or unique in a way, but then also representative of like quite a large group of people, you know? I mean, I think there's a lot of moms, busy moms that, you know, whether they're working or, you know, full-time stay at home or whatever, you know, or whatever their situation is, that they have a particular, you know, set of interests and I think, and a viewpoint. And I think having someone available that they can contact and, you know, talk about their concerns with and, you know, that I share a lot of them and being able to represent that for them in a format like this, like at the county board is, I think, really important.
Yeah. I always want a government where everyone from the community that is represented by that government can see themselves in government.
Yeah.
I don't like billionaires that buy elections, right?
Absolutely.
Eric Hovde, I'm talking about you. Ron Johnson, I'm talking about you.
Right.
Maybe even a former county executive, well-intentioned guy. My criticism of billionaires buying elections isn't a partisan one.
Mm-hmm.
I want folks to be of and from the community that I'm from and understand what the concerns of the vast majority of their constituents are. And it's wonderful to see women, again, aspiring not only to be elected officials, but to take on some of these really technical roles within government. If you are elected, Liz, you will be the first female ever elected or to be, before it was an elected office, to be the Milwaukee County Comptroller.
Mm-hmm.
Has that like popped into your head? Is that weighty? Do you feel responsibility about that?
Yeah. No.
Good.
I mean, I think, you know, I think it's one of those things, like I think it's great. And I think every milestone or achievement that we can achieve is wonderful because I really think it's important for young girls like my daughter and her friends to be able to look at me and like, what's Molly's mom's job, you know, and just think like, that's interesting. You know, I didn't have any friends whose moms were in any kind of an elected position when I was growing up. And, you know, and I think that's just, I think it's important for them to have that to see.
100%. Yeah, so. Well, congratulations to you, Liz. Best of luck. Tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your candidacy.
Sure. So you can go to my website. It's liz4mke.com. I also have a Facebook page that's Liz Sumner for Milwaukee County Comptroller. And then I'm also on Instagram and Facebook just as a regular person at Liz LeBlanc Sumner, where I post a lot of stuff that's related to the campaign and also not related to my business or whatever, but just fun things that I've been out doing. I love to get out and really see what's going on in the community and post about it. So
I love that. Regular person Liz Sumner with a monster business degree from the University of Chicago with no fiduciary breaches on your record running for Milwaukee County Comptroller.
Me.
Yes, that is you. Thanks for being here, Liz.
Yeah.
On the Maggie Dawn Show. I hope you can come back sometime.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Please.
Wonderful. Keep it locked, everybody. News, weather, and sports at the top of the hour. More when we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.